In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I feel very privileged to be preaching this morning in this beautiful cathedral, and I would like to thank the Provost and all the staff for your warm welcome to the chapter of the meeting of the Anglican Dominican Order of Preachers this week. We were here on Friday night for one of our services, and everyone was overawed with the beauty and the welcome of this place. So thank you. For the past 4 weeks now, including this one, our gospel readings have talked about bread. We started 3 weeks ago with the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark's gospel, and then Jesus' discussions about bread in St. John's gospels for the last 2 weeks, and again today. He says, "I am the bread of life." Today, our Old Testament lesson has wisdom saying, "Come, eat my bread." The New Testament lesson doesn't mention bread, but it does talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the psalm talks about those who seek the Lord not being hungry, but lacking nothing that is good. And the gospel today, as you just heard, begins with Jesus saying again, "I am the living bread." In all these, there is a feeling of not only enough, but an abundance of bread for all who want it. Bread, one of the major basic staples of our lives. And sometimes in our affluent society, we can get a little overwhelmed with the abundance of bread. One of the larger grocery stores in San Antonio, where I live, not only has an aisle devoted to wrapped bread and bread products, but a whole bakery section with, at last count, 39 different kinds of loaves. That's not counting buns and muffins and stuff like that. 39. So we have a huge abundance of bread. So it's not only a needed basic food, but a good metaphor for the abundance of God's gifts. And if you look at the Bible all the way through, there are reference after reference after reference to bread, from manna in the wilderness, in the Exodus, all through the Psalms and the prophets, all the way to the Gospels and the Epistles. And so we come to today's Gospel reading. Now, this is getting tricky. Jesus is not simply using a metaphor to put himself in the middle of our lives, "I am the bread," or even talking about the phenomenon of living bread. Now he's really shocking his listeners by talking about eating not a metaphorical bread, but his own body and blood. And he goes even further to say that without eating this flesh, they will not have life within them. No wonder the Jews are a little dismayed. Unlike the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John's gospel does not record any account of the Last Supper, that institution of the Eucharist during the horrors of Holy Week. Instead, John links the sacrament of the Eucharist with the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and his subsequent discussions with the Jews. John places this discussion into a world of everyday people, of bread broken to feed the hungry crowd, of God's abundant generosity, not this time in a time of crisis, but firmly grounded in daily life. Now, as 21st century Episcopalians coming regularly to the Eucharistic table, this discussion of consuming the body and blood of Christ seems much less shocking, much more just a part of our lives. We tend to be interested in, but mostly ignore, the many theological arguments related to the Eucharist. We accept that it's a mystery, a holy mystery, the central act of a faith that includes so many mysteries. We accept it, but at the same time, we cannot lose the enormous implications of this sacrament. We actually take in Christ. This is a time, if not for shock, at least for profound awe and wonder. Here, in this cathedral, in churches and meeting places across the world, and in the midst of our own busy lives, we take in Christ. Then we reaffirm this sense of awe and wonder as we hear the words of life. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Even the resurrection is already there in this story, in the midst of Jesus' ministry. As post-resurrection people, we accept the idea of eternal life. In fact, in our creed, which we'll be saying shortly, we claim we look for the resurrection of the dead. We are promised eternal life here, now. Let's go back for a moment to the beginning of this story, the feeding of the 5,000. Remember what happened there. In St. John's version, there's a boy who offers his two loaves and five small fishes. Jesus takes the offering, gives thanks, and distributes the bread. Everyone gets some, and there are 12 baskets of crumbs and broken pieces left over. Now, that is overabundance, a generosity beyond imagination. In a few moments, we will be celebrating the Eucharist. Let's look at that. We begin with people bringing up the bread and wine, the offerings from us. Then we offer thanks in the great thanksgiving. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. We hear the story of Jesus offering his own body and blood. He took bread. He took the cup. He gave it to them. The priest breaks the bread. And we participate by eating the bread and drinking the wine, which are for us the body and blood of Christ. In other words, we replay the story of the feeding of the 5,000 with a new meaning given by Christ: I am the bread of life. This is a time for wonder and awe, right here, now, in the midst of our lives. Now, what about those 12 baskets of leftovers? Where do they come in? Here, I think we see another sign of the overwhelming generosity of God. And this reminds us to pay attention to these great gifts, to this very important meal. Do you remember meals that you've had, maybe on special occasions? When my friend and I travel on vacation, it is always he who finds the good restaurants. I enjoy the food, but he savors it. And when we talk later about places we visited sometimes years ago, he'll say, oh yes, that's where we went to that restaurant, names it, and I had that good lasagna and you had fish and chips. He remembers, he savors it. And that is what the Eucharist can be for us. A meal to savor, to remember, to treasure. In our closing prayer, we pray to our Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that abounding grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, that sharing with God's people in this sacrament, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. That is being fed and savoring the experience. And we are prepared for going out into our world. I think sometimes of the instructions that we hear every time we get on an airplane. That in case of emergency, what do? We must put on our own oxygen masks before we help our children. In the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ are our oxygen masks. We are fed, strengthened, and enabled then to go out to serve God and our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? In this context, we think about those who, even in our affluent society, in this city, in my city, and across the world, who do not have bread in abundance. What's our responsibility to them? As people fed with the body and blood of Christ, we are called to share that abundance. As C.S. Lewis wrote, next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. And St. John Chrysostom said, if you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. Yes, we are called in the midst of our daily lives to share with love and passion, with gratitude and awe, as we serve the Christ within us and the Christ within our neighbors. In closing, let's just go back to some of the words in today's lessons. From St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we heard, be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks to God the Father. The writer of Proverbs cries, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine and live. Jesus tells us, the one who eats this bread will live forever. Let us accept this abundant life and live into his promises. Amen.